28, verses 1 to 10. I'll be reading from the New International Version. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Indeed, it's always a privilege to come to your church and share God's word with you and to have fellowship with you and to be encouraged by you to see that throughout these years you still serve the Lord, you're still faithfully serving this the people here. We are so encouraging to see that the church continue to grow because you have a good shepherd that take care of all of you. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us. May his word really help us to love him more and more. And Father God, as we gather together in your precious name, and we pray that you will indeed help us to understand what it means, Lord, to be your disciples. Father, we know, Lord, each year we have Good Friday and Easter. Father, many times we take, Lord, your love for granted. But today, Lord, help us to really embrace your word and to really know that you are truly alive, Lord, in this world and in our hearts. And for this, we ask and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. And friends, many people in the world put their hope in their stocks and shares. But when their stocks and shares collapse, they are devastated. Some people put their hope in their children, hoping that they will turn out well. But when their kids are out of control, they are devastated. Some people put their hope on their dream home or holiday home. When bushfire took all their dreams away, they are devastated. And again, some of us put our hope on the government, hoping that they will keep their promise. But when they did not keep their promises, we are upset and disappointed. In the Gospel of Matthew, the disciples and other followers of Christ thought he was the end of their master when he was crucified on the cross at Calvary. Yes, he has healed the sick, he has cast out demons, he fed the 4,000 and 5,000 people and calms a storm, but now he's gone, never to return. Jesus' enemies were delighted to have him at last where they wanted Jesus, dead and buried. If we have any imagination at all, it will be easy to understand that the Saturday before the resurrection must have been the darkest day Jesus' disciples had ever experienced. A day of shattered hopes, of broken dreams, and of wounded and frightened hearts. All their brightest hopes had collapsed around them. All their dreams had perished with the death of their Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is no point hanging around, and moreover, they too might be in trouble because they were Jesus' disciples. It's no wonder they went into hiding in the Gospel of John 20:19. Here we see that the disciples may be discouraged, dismayed, and disappointed to watch their master hung on the cross and ended up in the tomb. But friends, that did not mean the end of the world. So let us come and look at chapter 28, 1 to 10. Verses 1 to 4 tells the woman or the women went to the tomb without any hope. All the four gospels tell us that the people who remained behind were the women. You must understand, in the olden days, women were nobody. You know about that, right? In the ancient times. And here you are, they were the women. It speaks volumes about women. They remained behind not because they expected Jesus to come back on the third day, but rather it was out of love and devotion to their master. Friends, these were the women who followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And these were the women who watched from a distance as Jesus hung on the cross. And these were the women who followed Joseph to the tomb and saw where Jesus was buried. And these were the women who rose early on Sunday morning and brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Instead, they found an empty tomb with a stone rolled away. See, the desire to anoint the body certainly indicates that the women did not expect a resurrection. They seek to perform their last service to their master. The Gospel of Mark tells us that while on the way to the tomb, they were worried about the huge stone in front of the tomb's entrance. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? It tells us that the stone must be a huge one, and it was impossible for them to move it. So when the women hurry on the scene, they look up and they were surprised to see that a huge stone had been removed. By who? By the angel of the Lord. And we were told that the guards were the witness of what was happening at the scene. I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us that the guards trembled and became like a dead man. So what kind of news did the angel of the Lord bring to the women? The angel brings good news, bring hope to the women. Look at verses 5 to 7. He tells not just the guard were terrified, but the women were afraid. When they experienced the earthquake and saw an angel before their very eyes. Here the gospel told us that the resurrection was an earth-shaking event. An angel sent by God to tell the women the good news. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Now, friends, put yourselves in their shoes. And imagine what it would have been like when you arrived at the tomb. Only to find yourself in the midst of a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descending from heaven, his appearance like lightning, and he saw the guards shaking and becoming like dead men. How do you feel? Of course, you and I will be afraid, isn't it? then look at the tough Roman soldiers guarding the tomb were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. No wonder the women were afraid. And no wonder the angel began by telling the women, not to be afraid. I believe that the women were also afraid because they didn't know what this all meant yet. They had come expecting to anoint their master's body, and now the angel tells them Jesus is alive. What did this mean for them, for the disciples, and for the world? And so the women hurry away from the tomb. They are afraid, and yet they also feel with joy in verse 8. Afraid and filled with joy. Have you ever experienced that? Afraid and filled with joy. Now, I look at how there's no new parents. Right? Most are grandparents. Anyway, now new parents understand the concept of joy mixed with fear. See, a child is born, and parents have the joy. Oh, my first child, you feel with joy. You're so excited. As an Asian, Malaysian, Singaporean, you will bring ang ku kueh, you know, to your neighbors, you know. But parents fear as they think, I'm not prepared for this. Can you see that? Fear, but fear with joy. Friends, if Jesus had not been raised from the grave, he will be remembered as one of the heroes that fought for the freedom of his people. And it's nothing much to rejoice about the future or be as gloomy as ever. Yes, he was crucified, dead and buried. But now he has risen. He is alive. He's not in the tomb. The purpose of the women was to anoint Jesus' body with spices. But now the news they received from the angel was that their master is not here. He had risen. Friends, what gives us hope and a bright future? Christ has risen. He's not in the tomb. You cannot put R.I.P. in front of his tomb. Rise, if possible. It's because he has risen. And now in paradise. He is alive. And friend, this is the crux of Christianity. The resurrection is a central fact of the whole Christian faith. May I ask you, where is Prophet Muhammad now? Where is Buddha now? Where is all the Indian gods now? Are they alive? People in the world can try their best to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. But you and I know in our heart of hearts, he is alive. It's because we experience his forgiveness of our sins. It's because we have received his joy, peace, and comfort in our hearts. It's because in him we are able to live a victorious life. It's because in him we know that we can face tomorrow. Remember the old songs that we sing? Que sera, sera, what will be, fate. but in him. It's not que sera sera. In him, we know we can face tomorrow. And lastly, it's recorded in the scripture. See, whatever people may say about Jesus, one thing I know, that in him, there is hope. In Christ, there is bright future for me and you. Now, you look at verse 6 carefully, you will realize that it was a bodily resurrection. It was the body of Jesus that rose from the dead. Verse 9, the woman went to Jesus and hugged his feet. He's alive. If you look at Luke 24:30-31, Jesus have meal with his disciples. See, there are false teachers today trying to argue against them, who claim that what happened was that the spirit of Jesus rose and he now lives spiritually only. But the word of God tells us that it was the very body which was put into the grave, dead, which is also rose from the dead. He is not here. I believe you have read together the Apostles' Creed. Said, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The women were instructed to go and tell Jesus' disciples and Peter. He said, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. See, the angel message to the women was threefold. Fear not, come and see, and go and tell. Can you see that? Fear not, come and see, go and tell. Obedience to their commission, the women ran to tell the disciples the good news. Can you see the excitement? The excitement of the women. Whilst reading this, I was thinking of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? When she met Jesus, the living water, she was so excited, she ran to the village and shared the good news to the people at the village. And here you are, the woman ran. Fear and full of joy. How that message must have cheered his disciples when they heard that Jesus is alive. And their Lord was going to have a reunion with them, with his disciples. See, to the disciples, that was truly good news. Because they were the one who left him and fled. Instead of rebuking them, our Lord Jesus forgave them. Now, this message must have brought great comfort to the Apostle Peter. He must have been tortured with the memory of his disloyalty and his failure to stand up for Jesus. Suddenly there came a message, a special message for him. A message of forgiveness, a message of comfort, and a message of restoration despite his three denial of Jesus. If this is a message of hope, comfort, and assurance for his disciples and Peter, who have failed their master by not standing up for him while he was on trial. Friends, I truly believe it is also a message of hope comfort, restoration, and forgiveness from the Lord for all of us. We too have failed the Lord in many ways and many times. And today our Lord Jesus is telling you and I that He has forgiven you. And we should not carry this baggage of guilt with us any longer. Isn't that a wonderful news? He has forgiven you. The angel invited the women to go inside the tomb, and they found that the tomb was empty. Yes, indeed, their Savior, Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. They witnessed the empty tomb, and the Word of God tells that they quickly ran to tell Jesus' disciples as the women were on their way to share the good news to Jesus' disciples about the Savior. Our Lord Jesus met them and greeted them. You see, the women were not the only witnesses to see the empty tomb, and not only the first ones to hear the good news from the angel that Jesus has risen. And now, they were also the first witness that Jesus is alive. With awe, the women ran to Jesus, take hold of his feet, and worship him. They worship their Lord who suffered so much for them and now stood alive and well. See, the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ assures our future resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? There is hope. And the book of Acts 17:31 says, "For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to anyone by raising him from the dead." Friends, you and I can be assured that all evildoers, murderers, and those who continue to reject Jesus Christ will be judged when he returns. Many times people ask me, "Eddie, where is justice? The rich, the evil people. Look at the war in Gaza. Look at the war, in other places. Where is justice?" I say, there is justice when Christ returns. Because he is alive, friends. There will be judgment day. A judgment day for evildoers, for murderers. There is hope for us. The resurrection of Jesus gives power for Christian living. We cannot live for God by our own strength. It's only as his resurrection power works in us and through us that we can do his will and glorify his name. See, the good news is not for us to keep, but for us to share. We are commissioned to bring good news to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our community and beyond. The Gospel of Matthew challenged the disciples of his day And he continues to challenge us today to live and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in the present and future. We must go and tell the world that Jesus is alive. There is hope for the hopeless. There's future for them. See, friends, what can you and I give to our chaotic world today? Look at the world today. It's so chaotic. It's so messy. You know, my neighbors are non-believers. Most of them are Aussie. Yeah, most of them are in their 70s, 80s. And we have a close neighbors that come to us and say, oh, Eddie, I got aches and pains here and there. They're non-believers. Then Christina beat you and I say, can I pray with you? Pray for you. He said, please pray for us. Can you see? Non-believers want you to pray for them. Because they are desperate. So they encourage you. Talk to your neighbors. Befriend your neighbors. And our neighbors the other side who went through cancer too and a hard time. Check with him, talk to him. I say, I'll be praying for you. So I saw him next time. I say, how are you? Are you all right? Are you okay? And this way, because we believe he lives. There's future for our neighbors. Go and tell them Jesus is alive. It's not for us to keep. It's for us to share. I believe we can give them Christ. Only Christ is able to give them hope in this hopeless society. The angel told the women to tell Jesus' disciples, he's going ahead of you in Galilee. Then you'll see him just as he told you in verse 7. Yes, Jesus has told them and just kept his promise. And today God has spoken and you can be assured that God will keep his promise that he will give us peace, not as the world gives to us. John 14:27. The peace that I give to you is not as the world that gives to you. See, in Christ, there is peace. Peace with God. Peace within ourselves. And peace with those around us. There is shalom. In closing, as we look at today's passage, we see that Jesus is not like the great heroes who died for the nations and later on forgotten. He's living. He's alive. Now, I want you to look at the last verse of chapter 28, verse 20, the last verse. Jesus said, now I want you to listen carefully. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can I say that? I will be with you always. Isn't that wonderful? Not sometimes, not for 1 minute, 2 minutes. I will be with you always to the end of the age. And friends, what a great encouragement to all of us who are Jesus' disciples. It's because Jesus is alive, he is with us all the times. 24/7. Maybe today, some of you think there is no hope for you. As you continue to face pressure, challenges, and hardship in life. But today, Jesus saying to you, there is hope in Him. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's in Christ that we will not be afraid or fearful about tomorrow. You know, my mom is in her 90s. Aches and pains, you know. Here, you know, old people, their aches and pains normal. When I get old, I think about aches and pains too. You know, my mom said to me, a Christian, accepted Christ in the 60s. Son, I want to die. I said, why? I can't take the pain. I want to die. I want to be with Jesus, you know, in that sense. Before she became a Christian, she said, I don't want to die. Because she doesn't want to go to hell, see? Now she wants to die. See the opposite now? Before she was a non-believer, she didn't want to die. Afraid of going to 18 chambers of hell. But now she wants to die because she knows that she's with Jesus. Can I see? She knows there's hope in Christ. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ that we will not be afraid or fearful about tomorrow. It's because the living Christ is the one who holds tomorrow. Because, it's a song, because He lives, I can face. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the and life is worth just because He lives. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Let me tell you a secret before I close, yeah? Now, before I became a Christian, because I was so into this Buddhism, Taoism, animism, I was really into it, seriously. I was so afraid of my gods. I did not sleep by myself. Seriously. I just turn on the light. Because the devil's, not devil, the evil is scared of light. It's just nonsense, actually. I dare not. When I came home by myself, I will be shouting, "Aah!" Hopefully the devil will run away. Seriously, I dare not sleep by myself. Because I have seen myself, I've seen evil spirits. So I'm so frightened, so scared. But when I came to know Jesus, because He lives, all fear is gone. You know, what I told my sister, I told the devil, you can do anything you like. You can strangle me. You can attack me. Just do it. I'm so tired. Because I know I'll be with God. So I slept peacefully. I'm not making up. It's a true story. I'm not making up. You can ask Michu. She will tell you. Billy Graham said, our world today is so desperately hungry for hope. Yet uncounted people have almost given up. There is desperate and hopelessness on every hand. Let us be faithful in proclaiming the hope that is in Jesus Christ. So today Jesus is offering this living hope of eternity, eternal life. If you are a non-believer, all you have to do is ABC. Simple. Admit that you sin against God by living your life without Him. B, secondly, believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He had died on the cross for you so that you may have eternal life. That is B. C, commit from this day forward to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As for us who are believers, the message of Easter is a message of hope. So let us not live only for the present, but also for the future. We must not so caught up with our everyday routine that we neglect to tell others about our living God, living Savior. As the angel reminded the women to go and tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead. Likewise, we are to go and tell others about our living Savior. Why? We need to proclaim to the world that there is hope in Jesus Christ. So let us stand and proclaim to the world Christ is our living hope. This is my acronym for HOPE. He is our passport to eternity. Hope. He is our passport to eternity. Let's pray. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for reminding us you are alive. And because, Lord, you are alive, there is hope. Hope for those who believe in you. And Father, thank you for, Lord, this assurance that we have in you. And Father, today you reminded us to go and tell others about this living hope. And Father, you stir our hearts, Lord, to have the compassion for the lost one. And Father, give us, Lord, the courage to share to our neighbors, to our friends, to our workmates who are non-believers, and to tell them this living hope. And Father, for us, we pray that, Lord, you continue to help us to look to you. Lord, when we are down, when we are discouraged, when we are dismayed, Father, remind us in you there is hope. And for this, we ask and give thanks in Christ's name. Amen.